Let's go! He's so good. Welcome to the basement. Yo, it's safer down here, cause that 100 flow will leave you on the pavement. And most of y'all like, wait a minute. The stuff that I be thinking is the stuff that Timmy out here boldly saying. Bow your heads, close your eyes, say a prayer. God got purpose for your life, stay prepared. We went viral and we didn't know who cared. Shout out to all of y'all that clicked subscribe and shared. Hey, we are on our way. Deathbed confessions, this is all I'll say. Like my last $10, this is all I'll pay. The basement's all inclusive, this and all I'll stay. Believers, church hurt, atheists, agnostics, deconstructionists, and whatever your other optics. Press B and let's see what can be when we ask the Holy Spirit to come between you and me. What's up, my Tomies? I hope you're doing well. Listen, I'm on the set right now, and Tome is giving away 6 courses for the price of 1. The Good Friday sale. Dang, it's too good. 6 courses for the price of 1. And so if you could not afford course by course by course, you better get in now. I can't even remember all the ones that they're doing. What's the first one?
Peace of mind.
Peace of mind is the first. Listen, if you don't have peace of mind, you need to get it. What's the next one? Creating in chaos. Listen, this is the one that takes care of the distortion of your life and gives you clarity in a way that you've never had it before. Next, led. If you want to be led by the Holy Spirit, then you need to get this course because this is the one that's going to show you how to lead and guide your life through the Holy Spirit's prompting. The Back Row Guide to Easter. It's 50% about Easter and 50% about people that have been hurt in church. And so if you have felt distant or in any way reticent about stepping back into a community, a household of faith, let this course be a blessing to you. Next, Peace of Mind 7-Day Devotional. Take everything from the course and break it down so that you can have 7 days in a row when you're intentional about your peace of mind. And finally, dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun, y'all been asking for it and we couldn't wait to give it to you. Upset the Vows is a course that Juliet and I will walk you through to get you some tips, some tools, some resources so that you and your spouse can be closer than you've ever been before. Upset the Vows, y'all giving away me and Juliet's juiciest stuff for the price of 1 course? Where they do that at? Well, I'll tell you why we did it. It's Good Friday. What the heck are we even doing? I need you to go to tomeapp.com/Friday.
But wait, there's one more thing. My name's Chris and I'm the CEO of Tome. And when we started Tome a few years ago, we had something called Tome Stories. And they were designed to help you understand what the Bible means in your everyday life. And because you've asked, we are bringing them back. And when you get Tim's Good Friday Easter bundle, you're going to get 12 months of Tome Stories absolutely free.
Welcome to the basement, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host, Tim Ross. I love you guys so much. Thank you so much for rocking with this pod. God and pod. That's what we do nowadays. It's all about God and pod. We are group of Christians that decided to throw together a podcast. Snap. This is not a Christian podcast. Some believers that the Lord said, do a podcast. He didn't say do a Christian podcast. He said do a podcast. So we decided to do a podcast. So we out here in these streets or in these digital streets, however, whatever kind of. We're on the calle. El calle. Is it el calle or la calle? La calle. La calle. The street. Shout out to my Press Bs, shout out to my dwellers, shout out to my promoters, shout out to, hey, you PayPal and Cash App, salute. Listen, y'all are some generous people, man. Y'all are some really generous people. Like, y'all are some extravagant givers. And I'm talking about everybody dropping grands all the way down to somebody dropping a dollar, man. Like a dollar, $5, $10. Like, every dollar counts, and we get to put this content back out to you. So thank you all. I really appreciate your support. I want to give a shout out to the members on YouTube. You're not just a subscriber, you are a member. And man, you don't think $5 does something. You may not think $20 does something or $10 does something, but when you magnify that times a group of people,
yo, you are helping us be out here, like, and continue to bring this to you consistently. We have not missed one weekend since we came out. We've taken vacations. We've had breaks. We've done stuff. We've traveled. We have not missed one weekend.
You went to Australia.
Mm-hmm. We didn't miss one weekend, right? So these pods drop on Tuesday like clockwork, right? And we on social media, we drop every day by 9 a.m. Instagram, TikTok, Facebook.
MySpace.
Such a dork. Dude, if we have a MySpace account, that would just be, like, there's just, I just, when you said MySpace, I just imagine one rickety server that's shaking and has, like, plumes of smoke that just swirl at the top of it. There's no AC in there. And it's just the last server left with like the last 22 accounts of MySpace on it. That's what I see in my head. That's all right, crazy.
Tim, you gotta choose the profile song though. The basement profile song on MySpace would be what?
That's really funny. Like that would, I have no idea. Probably some cross movement song.
Break Even by The Script.
I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, I love you all. However you support, if you're listening on Spotify, if you're listening on iTunes, we love you guys so much. And thank you. Thank you for supporting this content. That's all I can say. Thank you for supporting the content. That's it. That's it. So Solo Dolo, it's a solo pod, man. We just out here. And I think I shared on another pod, you know, we cover all things God and culture. When you think about this pod, think about Daniel chapter number 1 and Daniel chapter number 3, right? Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah get taken into Babylonian captivity. They have to navigate Babylon. You know what I mean? They got a nefarious king, Nebuchadnezzar. Really, Daniel's story covers three kings. It covers Nebuchadnezzar. It covers, hold on. It's going to come to me. Nebuchadnezzar, Darius, and Cyrus. I think those are the three. Yeah, because Artaxerxes is Esther's story. So yeah. Yeah, we cover God and culture, and so this ain't a Bible study, and you know what I mean. This ain't a devotional, right? We talk about life. Talk about life, and sometimes that sends us diving straight into the Bible, and sometimes it sends us diving straight into humanity and just grappling with it. So that's where we are today. So what are we getting into today, boys?
There's a few things to get into.
Yep.
We do have a few people who sent some questions in.
Sweet.
Regarding culture and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But we had a great conversation before we got started today.
Yep.
And it was in regards to a post that we had made last night with your interview with AJ.
Yeah.
Phenomenal interview. Please go listen to it with AJ Ramos and Tim Ross. It was amazing.
Yep.
But I think this might have been the first time we made a post on social media where you said, hell no.
Mm-hmm.
In regards to the story that you were telling. So
yeah.
Do you want to kind of walk us through what you were sharing this morning about that?
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things that the Holy Spirit told me when we started the pod was the same voice that you have used privately to mentor and to disciple people, that's the voice that I want you to use publicly. Well, that scared me because I was like, I'm going to get canceled. Bottom line, because you know how I talk in private. Let's be honest. The way most people talk in private is not the way they talk in public. Let's put that out there first. Just so that we're not walking around like we're some victims, right? The majority of people don't talk publicly the way they talk privately. If all of your text messages had to be disclosed today, would any of us be able to stand? You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, so that was a very scary thing for God to tell me, because I'm like, you know how I talk when I'm in private. Like, I use much stronger language privately than I would ever use publicly. Why would I ever use that language preaching a sermon? It would never come up. It would never even be a thing that crosses my mind. I have never in 27 years even come close to, you know, more colorful language coming out of my mouth. So I'm like, when I'm talking to my mentees and when I'm talking to those that I'm disciples, sometimes we get into certain conversations where I feel very, very comfortable using stronger language. What most people would call obscene, I call normal. I grew up with this language. You know what I'm saying? And so, and there's some people that it is just wild to them. Like, how could a dude that I've been listening to publicly talk like this on a mic? I'm so sorry to disappoint you. I've always talked like this. I've never not talked like this. You just never heard it. Because there was never a conversation where it was ever going to come up. Mm-hmm. So in reference to the clip you're talking about, the clip you put out, right?
I had so much anxiety. While I was making it, I'm like, okay, first off, this is amazing.
Yeah.
It is authentically who Tim is.
Period.
And I know he wouldn't have any problem being himself, right, in front of anybody.
Right, for real.
But I did have the fear of like, man, I don't want to misrepresent Tim, but I'm like, but I'm not, because it's Tim.
Yeah, for sure. So let's give context to that, because you had anxiety and I have anxiety every week when clips come out. Now, this is an anxiety that is slowly coming off of me, but I've been preaching for 27 years. I've been standing up for 27 years preaching. I've only been sitting down for a few months talking. And so I stand by every word that comes out of my mouth, right or wrong. 'Cause I have the freedom to change my mind about anything I ever put out. And if I do, I'm going to come back and say, I shouldn't have said that like that. This shouldn't have been said like this. I actually don't agree with that anymore. I've grown in this area, blah, blah, blah. I've learned some new stuff, whatever. And so I stand by everything. But when we're done with a pod, as long as y'all felt comfortable with it, as long as Juliet feels comfortable with it, run it. You don't run clips past me. I just want to stop for real quick and just talk to content creators real quick. But I want to talk specifically to the principal, the person that's hosting, or the person that actually puts out
the talent.
That's what. Thank you. I want to talk specifically to the talent, the principal talent. Don't frustrate your producers.
Can you say that louder?
Don't frustrate your producers. Don't stifle your creative team. You don't know what looks good. Let me pause. The majority of you don't know what looks good on camera. You don't know what clip is going to really hit. You don't know. A couple of people know. I can only think of a couple of people. But the majority, let your creative team be your creative team. You can't be the principal talent and the creative director. If you are, do everything yourself. Edit it yourself. If everything got to run past you, you've depowered the person you said you've empowered. Hey, that's my lead technical creative director or whatever. But if they got to run everything by you, you're the lead. They're your assistant. So call them what they are and then pay them accordingly. I guess you need more money in your pocket. So Juliana, Huli's back from her trip in Poland. Hey. Juliana does all things social media. The only place that Juliana and I converge is in Instagram, because Instagram is my platform of choice, right? And so I'm in there talking to the people that are in my primary DMs. I want to get that straight or whatever. I may see somebody that's in the general or whatever. Juliana responds to those people. Mm-hmm. If I respond to a person, you'll never know that I responded because Juliana sounds just like me and I sound just like Juliana. Right? But I'm not going behind her like, hey, I know Juliana responded to you, but I also want to say, or hey, Juliana, can you write this like, what are we doing? I'm not going to frustrate you, you or you. Y'all are greater what y'all do or you wouldn't be here, right? So Hector does not run clips past me. He puts clips out and then I get anxiety when I hear the clip. I have no anxiety when I'm doing a pod. Anything that comes out of my mouth, I'm like, yep, said it, and we're done. Clip comes out, I'll be like, oh, Jesus, the Pharisees are going to stone me.
There is sometimes where I will hit you if it is a really sensitive topic.
Absolutely
that,
correct.
That just needs a lot of context that, absolutely correct. That can't be in 90 seconds.
That's exactly right. Case in point, when I said that I'm raising black men and not, I'm either raising black men for promises or niggas for prison. I did not want that to be a clip, right? There's no context that you could give in 90 seconds to that statement. You know what I mean? Other than that, we're out, right? So the clip with AJ, he was saying, I forgot even what he was saying. All I know is my response was, hell no. Like, you know what I mean? Sometimes you don't know what the Lord is saying in it. And like, and when you don't know what the hell he's saying, right? Now, I don't read comments. I don't read no comments no more. This is the covenant I made with y'all.
Yes.
I'm not in the comment section no more. I make content. Let me look in this camera. I make content. That is my responsibility. Mm-hmm. You can make comments. That is your opportunity. I have a responsibility. You have an opportunity. So I'm going to let you have your opportunity. We have not shut those comments off, right? You can make a comment. My responsibility is to make content. It is not to make a comment under my content. It is not to debate your comment under my content. We make content. You can make comments. I'm going to stay in my lane. I'm going to let you stay in yours. Okay. So with that out of the way, I make the, you know, I said, hell no. Then I said, you know, sometimes you don't know what the hell he's doing. Blah, 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 blah. And then I have two God sisters. Bless their hearts. My God sisters choose violence every day. They are the equivalent of women warriors in Wakanda. Yeah. Right? Or in the Woman King. In either one of those movies, these are my sisters. They will stab you. Right? They want all the smoke. They are ready. They are waiting for me to give them the green light to smoke people in the comment section. Now, before I told them to calm down, they were smoking people in the comment section. You do not want it with these two. I don't want it with those two, okay? They're brilliant girls. They're brilliant minds. And so they sent me a screenshot, and there were like, you know, two or three comments. Stop cussing. Watch your mouth. Watch your language. And I'm like, dude, I'm a emo. I'm an empath. And so, oh my God, I knew it. We ain't taking it down, but I knew it. I knew you were going to throw something at me. Right? And listen, these people mean well. They're not haters. Everybody ain't no hater. Right? They have different convictions and they have a different lens. They're not haters. They want to support me. They can't get past my mouth. I get it. Yep. Oh, my God, I get it. Oh, I get it. And again, when the Lord told me, this is the way I want you to talk, I'm like, I don't think you want me to do it. And I know there's some people that are even going to disagree. God would never tell you to talk like that. You're entitled to your opinion, right? So I'm like, okay, Jesus, like, oh, dang, you know, dang, okay. It just comes with it. And then I woke up this morning. I'm laying in the bed and the Holy Spirit reminds me of the fishing trip we went on in Australia. And we go on this fishing trip in Australia and the guy, our captain, he baited all of our hooks. We went, when he picked us up from the, it was really baller because we chartered a boat and he actually brought the boat to the house to pick us up because the boat was backed up to a water channel. So we come out the back door, we get on the boat, and he drives to the this fishing place to get bait, fresh bait, worms and shrimp. So he baits all of our hooks, okay? Deep sea fishing, he baits all of our hooks. And what he does is he literally thread, he doesn't just hook the worm on the thread. He long worms, he breaks the worm in half. I can't say breaks, it's a worm. He tears the worm in half and literally threads the body of the worm through the hook. It's like the craziest thing. He threads the body of the worm through the hook so you can't see the hook at all. Then he's like, cast it into the sea, right? And then with the shrimp, he just snaps the heads off the shrimp, and he literally threads the hook through the beheaded shrimp all the way up to the tail. So when you throw it in, it just looks like a little shrimp is floating in there. And we caught, when I tell you we caught fish. He baited those things so well. And I can't resist the double entendre. He was a master baiter.
Yeah.
The double entendre is just too good for me not to.
Yes.
This dude was a master baiter. So he baited the hooks, threw them in. That's my rap coming out. I can't. It's a good metaphor, man. It's a good metaphor. Okay. So he throws it all out. And we caught a bunch of fish. All kind and different kinds of fish, right? And so I'm laying in the bed and this morning the Holy Spirit says, Tim, your language is bait for the people that I want you to reach. I was like, how come you didn't tell me this when I first started? I would have been so much better prepared. Because I love people and I don't like disappointing people. And I'm not a people pleaser, but I love people and I don't like disappointing people. I wish you would have told me this up front. But again, when the Lord tells you to do stuff that's uncomfortable, you just got to shed the layers of what you believe, how you believe, how you've done it. What? Because I would normally, like, it wouldn't, I would never even consider that. But he said, your language is bait for the people I want you to reach. And if there's people that are saying, stop, you're cussing, hell. Damn.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
B, not F, not MF, not a-hole. Not. And I'm comfortable with those words. Mm-hmm. I don't have a reason to say them right now. So, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Good Lord have mercy. I just realized if that's the response, you're not the person I'm trying to catch. Yeah.
So
this is bait.
Yeah.
This is deep sea fishing. This is not a few minnows in the shallow. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get to some people that are not listening to my preaching clips. Well, you don't have to stoop that low and start cussing to reach the... No, I'm so sorry, y'all. I'm going to look dead in this camera again. This is the way I've always talked. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry to disappoint you. I don't want you to think I've always talked like this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I've always talked like this. I'm not going to mentor everybody. I'm not going to disciple everybody. But there's certain people, they don't even hear you until you cuss.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many people I've had to cuss at to make them like, oh, snap. Now I hear you. I'm like, good Lord, have mercy. I used all my big words. I have a vast vocabulary. I've spent several years with that dictionary, and you didn't hear me until I said sugar, honey, iced tea.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm after a certain type of person, and those people don't even hear me until I talk like them. that's what makes me relatable to them. Talk like them. I know. And you know too. Okay. You don't use the language. Most of y'all listen to it. Mm.
Rap music.
Yep.
Okay. Cardi B and what's her name? Meg Thee Stallion. Okay. Wet ass pussy. Mm-hmm. Do you know what the clean version of wet ass pussy is? Wet and gushy. Which is worse? Stop. Can you even clean that up?
No.
That's not even cleanable. That's the alternative?
Yeah.
Just keep it WAP. Why should it be WAG? Wet and gushy? Good Lord. What is this, a super soaker? Yeah. What's happening over there? Right? We need a mop. Stop. Right? So I'm like, I cannot be afraid. I can't be afraid. This is not your assignment.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. This ain't your assignment. Right? This is deep cover work. Yeah. We are going deep cover. Now, we're not going deep cover and abandoning that we are believers in Jesus. And it's not like, yeah, we're, what? God? Who's God? We ain't that deep cover. But I use the language of the Chaldeans. Trying to reach Babylonians. It's the way they talk. And it just so happens it's the way I talk. So, you know what I mean? I might not reach a businessman with this podcast. I might just be reaching, you know what I mean? No, I take that back.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I take that back. You know how many businessmen be cussing? Listen, I can't tell you how many lead pastors be cussing. I can't tell you how many green rooms I've been in where lead pastors are cussing. Mm-hmm. Right? Ha ha, key. And then, and I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know. What y'all call cussing, I don't call cussing.
So I love the analogy of colorful language.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my head, I got a coloring, like a color crown box.
Mm-hmm.
And I have all my colors.
Mm-hmm.
And I happen to like choose some vibrant ones.
Yep.
And I've had many conversations with people about this because I'm like, it's a next level for me.
Yeah.
Some things are awesome.
Yep.
Some things are funky green awesome. Uh-huh. And I'm going to grab that funky green and I'm going to color that scene.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening.
Yeah.
And I've always had the analogy of if I'm standing in front of a Van Gogh painting and I'm like, oh my God, this is funky green beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And someone down the corner turns to their friend or their son and says, man, you're never going to amount to nothing.
Mm.
There's a curse in one of those sentences. Yeah. And it's not the one that I used funky green in.
So, okay. We're making a lot of people's butt cheeks tighten right now.
Oh, for sure.
Right.
I could have gone with fuchsia.
I just want to say, okay, this pod is not a campaign for cussing. This is not a campaign for bad language, obscenities, vulgarities, right? There are some things that are just vulgar, right? What we're talking about is not that. What I'm talking about is not that. What I'm talking about is we have created a space. Again, the way that you have talked to people privately, that's the voice that I want you to use publicly. This is a safe space. I told you what Brené Brown said, and I have empirical data to prove what humanity does the most is a lot of cussing and a lot of praying. And when I get people in the basement and they're going through the throes and the challenges of life, I hear a lot of prayers and I hear a lot of very colorful language. They use funky green to describe how bad the marriage is. They use a extreme fusion of orange and blue to describe the pain of being abused by their spiritual leader. And all I'm saying is I hold space for that. And judge it how you would, how you feel like you need to judge it. I use this language. I don't use it all the time. There's no need to use it all the time. I'm not a sailor. But when it, when necessary, not only do I hold space for it, I use it. And it's effective. And it works. And we're reaching the people that we're supposed to reach. I'm not reaching people that are only in church. I'm reaching OnlyFans. They're in the DMs. And they're not trying to show me their breast. They want prayer. And maybe they'll cover their breast. And if it took a hella damn or any other word, I'm going there. I'm going there. I'm sorry. I'll let them judge me when I get there. If these five little, you know, banned words is what's going to keep me out the gates, we're going to find out. We're going to find out. But I think I'm under orders. Mm-hmm. And I'm going there. So that's, I hope that answers that question.
Well, there's a clip that you had out in regards to the root of all this is it's not giving people a green light to go sin.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Correct.
Like,
yeah.
Like you had a clip go out where
when keeping it real goes wrong. You know what I mean? Tim said I could cuss. F you.
Exactly.
You're fired. I thought Tim said, no, did nobody tell you that? Right? You know what I mean? So
I got my basement approval sticker.
Yeah, exactly. That,
exactly. Bro said I could do it.
Yeah, nah, that's not what I meant. Yeah.
There was that clip, that older clip where you said it was along the lines of, I'm trying to reach people out in the world. You were at the bar and you had 14 shots.
That's exactly right. That's not what this is.
And the beautiful part about that is there's a secular artist. The dude's a beast. His name's, he goes by Pink Sweats.
Yeah.
And he commented and he's like, this resonates with me a lot.
Yeah, 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 absolutely.
So going along the lines of that, that's a little bit more context. If it doesn't give you a green light.
Yeah, exactly. No. There is purpose behind it. There's purpose behind everything I say. There's purpose behind every sermon I've preached. And there's purpose behind the way I talk in the basement. I am throwing bait for the person that I feel like that we feel like we've been assigned to reach, which is why you wouldn't skip that as a potential clip, because you know it's going to reach somebody. Mm-hmm. It's not, well, you drop two hails. I got to find a cleaner, if I could just get Tim to stop saying hell and damn.
That's me and Sam and Julie's meetings every week. We got to get this guy in line. We got to take him back to the attic because this basement stuff is going cray cray.
Not the attic.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. So, no, I'm glad you brought that up, bro. I really am. And that's my only answer now. I didn't know I needed that answer. Why do you use that language? This is the bait I use to catch the people that we're after. My language is bait. Yeah, that's it. My colorful language is bait. That's it.
Well, we had some questions go out on Instagram, and one of them that I feel like we can go a little bit into concerning other content creators and people who are out there making new content similar to this. Mm-hmm. The question was, and they don't have a name, but it's, what is, from your experience, the best way to change culture? The reason I feel like that question is a good one is because we've seen many different types of content come out ever since. I feel like it's a wave of very bold content and people talking into that hot mic. Mm-hmm. It almost comes across as recklessly. Mm-hmm. Sometimes because I'll watch a clip from them somewhere else and it doesn't look like that clip. Mm-hmm. And it's like, these are two different personalities I'm receiving. And I know the basement has encouraged a lot of people to make their own content.
That's right.
Because you are bold, but you are you.
Yep.
In front of the camera and behind. So.
Yep.
Yeah, changing culture. It seems like the basement's doing that. You are a part of that. How, in your experience, do you feel it is best to change culture and be a part of that?
Well, I'm a cultural architect, right? Like literally, I feel like God gives me paradigms that I'm able to give a tangible feel to that people buy into, right? So like, when I was a young adult pastor, we started Brick House, and I made everything about Brick House a subculture. In the same way, hip hop is a subculture, R&B is a subculture, pop is a subculture, country music is a subculture. If you see somebody that's really into country music, there is an entire ethos that they have bought into in the way they dress, in the way they talk, in the way they act. There's a whole ethos that goes with it. So with The Basement, this is, as with all genres of anything, there is a philosophy to it. And you cannot embrace a culture if you don't buy into the philosophy. And you got people trying to set trends, but there's actually no guidelines. There's no philosophical guidelines. Well, what do we do? Who are we? Right? Like, it's like, you know, you can cookie cutter the churches that are like, our purpose at this church is to love God and love people. You can find like 22 churches that are not even related to each other. Hey, our purpose and our mission here, love God, love people. You're just sitting there.
So you saw the cover of the book?
Right. So that's it. Like, they don't even know who their target audience is. Yeah. No target audience. They have no target audience. Who's your target audience? Everyone. Everyone deserves. I have a target audience.
Yep, you do.
I've always had a target audience. There's when I was a lead pastor, when I was the pastor of Embassy City, I was talking to a biracial 30-year-old girl every weekend. In my mind, that's who I made my sermon for. Her daddy's black, her mama's white. She's 30 years old. She's successful in her career. She has a guy that's in love with her. That's how I get him, because he loves her, right? But I talk to her to get to him. And once he comes in, we good. But my target audience was a biracial girl who was 30 years old and had a successful career. That's who I was talking to. That's who I made my messages for. When I walked out there every weekend, now we had five generations represented. Literally five generations represented. I was only talking to her. She was, it was a biracial girl, 30-year-old biracial girl who loved God, is generous, and wants to be plugged into community. That's who I'm talking to. That's not a very evangelistic target audience if I'm talking to somebody that already loves God. But I'm not an evangelist. I'm an apostle. So I strengthen the relationship that people already have with Jesus so that they can go out and be ambassadors for Christ. That was the whole premise of Embassy City. Now, most people don't want to do a target audience because you leave somebody out. Of course you're going to leave somebody out. There's 8 billion people on earth and too many subcategories, or else you wouldn't have as many churches as there is. Right? If it was one size fits all, then we should have a few churches that have 100,000 people each or 500,000 people each. But the reason why you can find a Wendy's on one corner, a Burger King on one corner, a McDonald's on one corner, and a Jack in the Box on one corner is because somebody wants a square patty from Wendy's. I don't know why they want that square patty from Wendy's. I don't even know how. You can't mash a patty into a square. You got to put that in like a little, you know what I'm saying? Play-Doh
it's
rectangle.
Never frozen, though.
It's a square, man. Somebody wants meat with corners on it?
I'm kidding.
They want the little corners dripping off the side of their bun. It's a circular bun with a square patty, fam. Maybe they wanted to fit the cheese. I don't know. But that person that likes Wendy's is never going to Burger King. The person at Burger King wants lines on their burger. Flame broiled, right? They want lines on it, right? Don't give me no patty that doesn't have lines. I might want to write in between these lines. I might want to color in between these lines. I want a burger with lines in it, right? So they have lines in their burger. The person that wants lines in their burgers is never going to McDonald's. McDonald's has a patty that never looks like the commercial. Facts. Ever. The Big Mac you see on that commercial, when you get there, that little shriveled up. You be lifting it up like, there ain't no two pieces of meat in here. That little meat be trembling under there like, just eat me already. Put me out of my misery.
They gave me Nemo, man.
You're just sitting under there shivering. And you got that soggy little bun all deflated in there. And you're like, where's the big in this Mac? Thought this was a Big Mac. And there's like 11 diced onions on there that you can count. It just looked like they sprinkled. It's like 11. And that's the Big Mac. And the person that eats at McDonald's doesn't want the heart attack Jack in the Box is going to give you. Jack in the Box is like, oh, you're going to get a patty and cheese and patty and bacon and cheese and bacon and patty and die.
Gravestone.
That's Jack in the Box trying to kill people overtly. You know what I mean? Come have a heart attack. For $4.99 combo meal. Come die today.
They'll call it a jack attack, but yeah.
Jack attack. Exactly what it is, right? Well, dude, in the same way, that's why there's so many churches. Do we need another church? We need more churches because there's more personalities and people groups and people are drawn to certain leaders and all that kind of stuff. And so, dude, I'm not tripping off it, but I'm not for everybody. The church was not for everybody. You're not going to reach everybody at your church. Let me say this to the lead pastor. Let me say this to the youth pastor of a youth group, a young adult. You ain't going to reach everybody. Reach the people, but you need to build a culture. You need to know who you're talking to. If you're just shotgunning it, and if you need Bible, child, I keep trying to tell y'all, none of this stuff comes out of the back of my butt. It's not coming out of the side of my neck, man. I got Bible for all of this. Jesus had a target audience. I'm a case closed, shut this thing so we don't have to do this for 20 minutes. Jesus had a target audience. You know who his target audience was? The lost sheep of Israel. That's who he was called to. He wasn't called. He died for the whole world. He wasn't called to the whole world. He's called to the lost sheep of Israel. That's who he was talking to. That's the audience he was trying to reach. There's some other people like, oh man, I'm inspired by that. Yeah, I ain't talking to you. The Syrophoenician comes up to him and is like, please, my daughter's sick. He was like, I'm not supposed to give the bread to the dogs. He's basically telling her, you are not my target audience. I'm not even coming for you. Mm-hmm. I'm dying for you, but I ain't talking to you. She's like, even the dogs get the crumbs that's under the master's table. This is what happens when you're not easily offended. You can get a blessing. Ooh, I just gave somebody something right there. If you're not easily offended, you can get a blessing by somebody that ain't even trying to talk to you. Ooh, Lord, I'm gonna put that in the crock pot. That was juicy.
That was good.
I felt that thing. Ooh, that's good. Okay, so anyway, Jesus had a target audience. I have a target audience, okay? With this podcast, I'm talking to somebody that's 25 years old. That's who I'm talking to. I'm talking to a whole bunch of people because there's some people that are 55 that never got the advice they needed at 25. So they still rock. It's all good, right? Do you know that my iPhone is not marketed to me? The iPhone is not marketed to a 40-something-year-old African-American male who's upper middle class. The iPhone is marketed to like a 19-year-old white girl. Watch all the commercials. They are not advertising this to me. They have a target audience. But you know what happens when you hit your target? There's a splat rate. There's always a splat rate. My parents have iPhones. They're both in their 70s. Is the iPhone marketed to my parents? Two people that survived, navigated the civil rights movement? No. And they're both on their, I just wanted to FaceTime you, baby. I wanted to leave you a voice note. They're not using Nokias. The iPhone's not marketed to my parents, but they're part of the splat rate. It works. But if you're not focused on a target, you won't hit anything. So.
And you had the vision that this podcast, you felt like you were going to be speaking to 25 to 35-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
The cool thing about that is God is even in all the details of everything we do, because we'll go on the back end of the analytics,
mm-hmm.
and that is what it is on YouTube.
Yep.
The person we are reaching the most,
yep.
before you even said it, is like, this is what has happened.
Yeah.
It's the 25 to the 35-year-old
absolutely
on YouTube.
Well, the book of Proverbs, most theologians agree that the book of Proverbs is Solomon writing to one of his sons who is just about to start his career. And they imagine that he's around 25 years old. They think he's around 25. So all of the Proverbs is written to a 25-year-old. Do we all read Proverbs? Can we all get something from Proverbs? Are we extracting that wisdom? Yes, we are. Was Solomon talking to us? He was not. We're part of the splat rate, right? All Gentiles are part of the splat rate, right? The gospel is to the Jew first and then the Gentile. It's to his chosen people and then the rest of the world. Right. So I just feel like that needs to be said. People are trying to change culture. They don't actually have any architecture to build for the culture they're trying to receive in. Mm-hmm. The basement is a whole philosophy that people have bought into. Mm-hmm. Right. It is a bona fide subculture. There's a way we dress. Right. There's a way we walk. There's a way we talk. There's a way we think. There's a way that we've committed ourselves to our fidelity in God. Our fidelity in Jesus, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, not living a wayward life. That's a whole philosophy that we've bought into. Now merch comes out of that. You know what I mean? Now dwellers come. There's a whole language. I'm a dweller. Like, you know what I mean? That's what happens in any subculture when it really takes root. A language forms. We have icons in the chat, grilled cheese and
smoothie,
butterflies for butterfly. It all becomes a subculture, and if you're part of the subculture, you know it. Somebody says butterfly 909, and you're like, yep, we can't.
It's filling that chat room.
Yep, it's filling that chat room, right? And then somebody, you ever stepped into a subculture and you're clueless? You're like, what is happening here? Butterfly 909, what are you guys even talking about? Right? Like, if I stepped into goth culture, it would be a steep learning curve. I don't know. What are y'all doing over here?
We got to do it, bro. We got to get chains. I want boots.
Get some black fingernails. I hope I answered the question.
You did.
Okay.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. I think it's very, very important. You must know your audience first, and then you have to build a blueprint. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Only God can give you a blueprint. A man can give you a playbook. Only God can give you a blueprint. You know how you get 1,600 churches saying the same thing? Our mission at blank church is to love God and love people. That's a playbook. And the playbook works. So everybody starts running the same place. You know the churches that really have breakthrough are the churches that pray down a blueprint. God, give me an assignment for the city. Love God, love people. That's the commandment. It's not a mission statement. Who the hell are you actually after? Do you even know? Are you after wealthy white people? Because they need to not go to hell. Are you after wealthy black people? They need to not go to hell. Are you for the poor and disenfranchised? Is your church in the hood? You got to know who you're talking to. If you don't know your audience, man, don't expect nothing. You're not going to get nothing. You're not going to get nothing.
No, from the world of production, I've sat in meetings where they're trying to figure out standards and stuff like that, and it's just people going back and forth on, well, these people are going to feel uncomfortable if they sit in that, and these people will feel uncomfortable if they're sitting in this. And if you're trying to make a show for everyone, you're making a show for no one.
That's exactly right.
Because no one's going to be satisfied with everyone being comfortable in this. It's like, direct it to me.
Absolutely.
Give me my diagnosis.
Absolutely correct.
And give me the appropriate medicine.
That's absolutely correct, man. That's absolutely correct. And this is why, God told us to step into a digital space through podcasting where there are 5 million registered podcasts. We have over 200,000 subscribers on YouTube.
209.
Snap. Well, praise Jesus.
Yeah, we'll be at 210 by the end of the night.
Crack okay, up. Okay. Praise him. I get happy because every number represents a person and every person has a soul. So that just makes me happy. Oh, that makes me happy.
We love them so much.
Oh, I do. I love them. I do. I do this for you. I do this for you. Oh, that just warmed my heart. I forgot what I was about to say now. What was I saying?
Well, Sammy was talking about church meetings, and then I rudely interrupted you with how blessed we are with all the dwellers. So
yeah, I don't know. The thought kind of bumped out now. Like I whatever I was talking about, whatever. So yeah, I forgot. I genuinely forgot what I was saying. I was talking about we have over 200,000 subscribers on YouTube. Oh, yeah. We have over 200,000 subscribers on YouTube. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You brought it back. We have over 200,000 subscribers on YouTube. It's not that our content is going to have 50 million people subscribe to it, but this content resonates with a group of people, which is why we are here. Mm-hmm. Just for the people that we feel like we resonate with. We thought, well, at least I thought, we'd have 3,000 subs in 18 months. God clearly did exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or think. But if the subscriber count stopped at 210, that's who we were after.
That's who we were after.
It's not like, how come we're not growing anymore? If 210 is... The full reach, is that not enough? Yes. You know what I mean? You got a guy that has like, 1,800 people at his church and he's like, how come I don't have 4,000? Yeah. Well, you can't enjoy what you got now if you already thinking about what you need to get later. So, yeah, nah, man. I'm Gucci with what we got. I really am. I'm excited about what we do. I'm excited about the way we do it. I'm excited about the people that feel like this cadence, this language, this, you know what I mean, is resonating with them. It's not for everybody, right? But I know that, right? There's millions of people that have iPhones. You ready for the revelation? There's millions of people that don't. Just text somebody that you know and watch that green bubble come up and you're like, oh. YouTube's not reaching everybody like I thought. I mean, Apple's not reaching everybody like I thought they did. This guy has a green bubble. Gotta live with it. So, yeah.
Man, I do want to celebrate you though, man. You've been paving the way in this space as a catalyst for this type of content, and you've done it well.
Thanks, bro.
We've seen a few content creators where they're two different people, and you are through and through Tim Ross, on and off camera. And this is a very scary place to be.
Yeah.
It's very vulnerable. You're putting your whole life out there.
Yeah.
And we want to celebrate you, bro. You have done this so well.
Thank you, bro.
Like, it seems like it's so easy, but I know that it's been hard shedding that skin.
Yeah, it's hard to change. Change takes work. You know what I mean? It's not something that just Dano snaps. It takes work. But I appreciate the encouragement, man. Like, I love what I do, and I'm getting used to doing it. You know what I mean? I feel like one of the things that cannot be underestimated is the learning curve that comes with change and just becoming comfortable with that. You know, one of the reasons why once we started the podcast, we stopped putting up preaching clips. That way it wouldn't be so disruptive to see these side-by-sides, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm preaching over here and then shut up or whatever I'd be saying. I don't know. I don't think I'd be saying shut up, but maybe sometimes I do. But this has to do with branding, right? what is the representation of you now? Whatever that is, your social media. Let me give you my philosophy on social media. I think this is very, very important. My social media is an extension of my public persona. Y'all didn't get a highlight reel from my holiday in Australia. Y'all got a couple of pics. That was my time with my wife and my kids. It's not a movie for y'all. You know what I mean? I'm an influencer. So I'm going to give you the content that influences you, right? And sometimes I will post something with my wife because she's super hot and I love her. But I see social media as an extension of my public persona. I'm a very private person who tells a lot of the public about his private life. But I do that in front of this camera. Like, y'all just not going to be following me around every single day as I'm getting ice cream and buying groceries and taking my car to get the tires rotate. What? You know what I'm saying? There's some people that do that. That's not me.
Mm-hmm.
No. The thought of it, just no. Social media is an extension of my public persona. And what I want you to see, you will see. If I don't want you to see it, you'll never see it. And I ain't going to even talk about it. So, you got to know what your social media is for. And so that's why you see reel after reel after reel after reel after reel of nothing but the content that comes from this platform. Why? This is what the platform is for. When it was for preaching clips, it was just preaching clips. Once the pod took over, it wasn't preaching and potting. No, that's confusing because my tone and my cadence sitting down is way different than it is standing up. And why confuse the audience like that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's very important for people too, because sometimes people don't know how to manage their own. Because you're a brand, whether you think so, whether you think so or not. Sorry. Like, maybe, and, you know, there's a certain group of believers that they don't like words like marketing. They don't like words like customer service. They don't like words. What's the other words they don't like? Target audience. They hate that word. And they hate the word branding. We're not branding. We're believers in Jesus. We're not marketing. We're after souls. Okay.
You're shooting in the dark.
Okay. Okay. Call it what you want. Call it what you want. call it what you want. My godson just sent me his grades. All A's and one B. He's a beast, dude. Oh, my God. That's amazing. Oh, I'm so proud of him. I gave him so much money the other day. His dad said, why don't you come out with us to go eat somewhere? And he said, Dad, my homework is important. I said, fool, what is your Cash App? What?
Blessed his whole soul.
What 16-year-old says, Daddy, my homework is important. I kicked him down. So he just showed me his grades. That's just so super sweet. All A's and one B. Beast mode. So awesome. So anyway, yeah. I want people to understand, like what we do, we're intentional about what we do. Mm-hmm. There's a whole vibe that goes along with the basement, and we just want to be good ambassadors of the brand that he's called us to manage. This is what he's called us to do. And this is only one aspect that needs to be said as well, because Upset the World LLC is the umbrella. Basement is one expression of this. As we continue to grow and we have more resources come in, you're going to see the other things that God has shared with us to do as well. So, yeah, that's that.
That's that, bro. And we got to get you to your EMDR.
Is it almost that time already?
It is that time,
bro. Okay, so, yeah, let me say this. So I still go to therapy. I'm actually about to start this is my sixth year of process group therapy. And my process group therapy is with nine other people. I don't want that to sound like 900. Nine other people with our life coach. We just walk through life together. It's once a month for 8 hours. And you just sit there and, you know, 6 years ago when I first got in, you know, every year you got to start with your story. They make you start from birth, 0 to 5, and then 6 to 10, 11 to 15, 16 to 20, 21 to 25, 26 to 30, and then it goes 35, 40, and then 50, and then 60. And basically it's called a life map, and they put all of these lanyards on the ground, and you got to stand in front of birth through 5 and recall your earliest memory. Just what's the earliest memory you can imagine? I remember being happy, or I remember being hugged a lot, or I remember just feeling alone, whatever. And then 6 through 10. What's your earliest memory, 6 through 10? And here's the thing. Whatever is between 0 and 10 is what affects the entire rest of your adult life. Because everybody's origin issue is a foo issue, F-O-O, a family of origin issue. Good, bad, or indifferent. 0 to 10 is what has set you to take care of any other. Now, you can have adolescent traumas and adult traumas or situations or circumstance. I don't want to make everything sound like it's a trauma. But 0 to 10 is where everything is embedded and anchored. And that's what you're dealing with the rest of your adult life. So it's my 6th year of that. But the reason why Hector is calling me on my time is because I still see a one-on-one therapist. I do EMDR. People have asked, what does EMDR stand for? And it means, it stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And they just use these certain modalities that allow you to revisit traumatic episodes in your past and neutralize their effects on you in your nervous system. That's what EMDR is for. It's very, very good stuff. A lot of people think it's like hypnosis. It's not hypnosis. Hypnosis is hypnosis. This is not that. But it does take, you got to be prepared for it because it's emotionally exhausting. I mean, to go back and to dig into some of those places is like, oh God, no, don't make me go back there. But if you don't go back there, you can't move forward in a healthy way. And you may can move forward, but you won't move forward in a healthy way. So, this felt good. It's good. This felt good. And man, I hope you're learning and I hope you're growing. This is what I'm here for. This is what we're here for. We are growing together. That's what the basement is all about. If you go back to that original episode, if you go back all the way back to episode 1, if you get down to the basement, there is a celebration. I can't believe you made it down here. Oh my gosh. Oh, most people that go up there never make it down here. We are so glad that you are down here. So glad that you're rocking with us. So glad that you're pushing past your own fears, pushing past your own limitations. I'm just trying to lead by example. I am not special, right? This pod is not going to be 90 minutes or 2 hours for one reason and one reason only. I cannot miss my session with my therapist. I have to keep my own mind, body, and soul good. That way I can continue to lead the team in a healthy way and I don't wind up with a bunch of pride and BS. You know what I'm saying? Bible study. I just want to be a healthy person. Man, I'm trying to stop, but I can't. There's some people, man, this is very, very nuanced, but I need to say it. Some people get healthy for the wrong reason. That sounds crazy. Because you think most people want to get healthy for the right reason. some people want to get healthy and wind up with like a six pack so that they can like have sex with more people. Some people pay their taxes just so they won't go to prison. Right? But then cut corners everywhere else. Emotionally, some people, ooh, this is so nuanced. Some people only go to therapy so they can be good enough to continue to get on the to get behind the pulpit and stay on the platform. It's the bare minimum. I do what I know I need to do to stay where I know I need to stay where I desire to be. You got to do this for you, not to save your marriage, not, oh my God, what kind of leader would I be if I need to go to therapy because, you know, I want to keep my job. You got to do this for you. I'm doing this for me, man. Like, this ain't got nothing to do with y'all. No offense. Juliet, the kids, like, I'm doing this for me. I just want to be okay. Mind, body, and soul. And so I'm grateful for my relationship with God and that communion that I have. And there are some things in my neural network based on the trauma that I've endured that I constantly just have to make sure there's nothing building up in there, nothing compromising me, nothing that's laying dormant, all that kind of stuff. So that's why. That's why. So I'm going to practice what I preach, and I'm about to bid you all adieu because I have to go be who I'm telling y'all to be. And I love you guys so much. And until the next time. Peace.